You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statement, if you all would join me. A reminder of who we are in Christ and our relationship with Christ every day of our lives. Here we go. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And we are in a series right now about Jesus, Jesus' words and Jesus' actions. And this past week, I've had several moments that I was reminded that there are variables in life. There are variables in life, and Jesus can be one of our variables. The definition of the word variable, let's read this together. Not consistent or having a fixed pattern, liable to change. I don't know about you, but I like consistency in my life. I like a pattern. I like a rhythm. I like looking at the seasons. Here in Texas, we have two seasons, hot and hotter. Up north, we have four, winter, spring, summer, and fall. There are different times in our lives when we long for the familiarity. We long for something that is going to remind us that there is a security in the rhythms of life. Have you ever come home and your true love is there and you don't necessarily get the greeting that you expected? Have you ever come home and found that something had broken at home and you had to fix it? Have you ever gone to work and your boss was having a bad day and in that moment you realized that the variable was not necessarily moving in your direction? There are a lot of variables in our life. What happens if Jesus is our variable that we focus on? As a follower of Christ, as that Spirit's guidance in each of our hearts, if we allow that variable to come from the presence of Christ in our lives versus all of the other touchable, tangible, and ever-shifting, changing variables that are in our world around us. Maslow put together a list of hierarchy of needs, and these are some needs that if any of these start to shift and change in our lives, we get a little bit nervous. It can produce a great deal of fear and anxiety. At the bottom, we have the physiological. Have you ever been short of breath? You ever had the air knocked out from under you? That's a scary place to be. I routinely am around patients who are dealing with COPD. They are struggling with their airway being obstructed. And if there is one thing that I've watched produce fear over and over again, it's not being able to take that deep breath. There are other needs: food, water, intimacy, sleep. There are these things that help provide our needs that make us feel like there is some semblance of order and makes sense in our lives. And if you remove some of these, it produces fear, the base. Next, we have safety. Have you ever been in a dark alley or a dark place at night? And you're like, oh, this just doesn't feel safe. If you remove that element of safety from our lives, most of us feel generally safe where we go and what we do. Our homes, our places of employment, our place of worship, where we go to the store. Have you ever gone to a grocery store? Maybe an HEB that was in a different part of town than when you're normally used to going to. And you look around, there's a lot of people around that maybe you don't always see. And there's just that sense of, this is just a little bit off right now. I don't feel as safe as I had felt. What about in the middle of the night? Have you heard that bump in the middle of the night? What was that? Immediately, you're wide awake. You're thinking. All of a sudden, your pyramid is starting to shake and to move. Our hierarchy of needs. Love and belonging. We all have a desire for that intimacy of connection, of being able to share and to receive life with others. You remove that and you start to feel isolated. You feel separated. You feel like your connection to who you are is not being necessarily fulfilled or met because you're unable to relate to those around you in your life. Esteem. You ever look in the mirror and say, wow, I wish, if only? There's a lot of things that will play in our heads. Larry Crabb called them the tapes that play in our head. There are negative tapes that undercut our true identity, the way that God sees us, the joy and the life that His smile into our lives can bring when there is a shadow or a shade or a cloud that comes over that. And then self-actualization. All of these things are a part of what we need in our lives and what we look for in safety, security, a pattern and a rhythm of life, something that we can expect and anticipate when and what and how. You take one of these pieces out and there's this uncertainty in our lives. I want you to take a look at this image. It's an image of a scale. We have certainty on one side and maybe we could say uncertainty on the other. On a scale of 1 to 10, relationally, don't raise your hand, but just in your mind, think for this for a second. Where am I relationally on this scale? Do I have more certainty or am I more uncertain in my relationships? What about my physical safety? Do I feel that there is a presence of protection in my life, or do I sense that I am uncertain about what might hurt me, whether that's mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually in my life? What is the direction of the scales in your life today? Where are they tipping? There's always change. There's always movement. It's important that we set this pattern in our lives of paying attention. Have you ever noticed that when you start to get stressed out in the workplace that you get a cold? Have you ever noticed that there is that effect of emotionally, mentally, I'm wearing down, and physically things start to wear me down as well in my life? Do I pay attention to where is the security in my life? Where are my needs being met? Or is there a void? Is the scale starting to tip in the other direction in my life? Stop, look, and listen. Do y'all have a time during your day where you say it with me? Stop, look, and listen. Let's do that again. Stop, look, and listen. Is there a time in your life during a day, a 24-hour period, where you stop and you look and you listen? Where you're just aware of what is going on the inside, what's going on around me? So each of us have things that we value that are most important to us. Like I can slide on some things, but then there's others that they're my hill to die on. Don't mess with that. One of those with the kids is yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Theodosia doesn't mind when they don't respond with yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But me, that's hardcore. Okay, so this morning as the kids were getting ready, Theodosia asked one of them to do something, and there was not a yes, ma'am response. And my thought was, I'm going to snap to action because this needs to change right now. So I went in, I said, what do we say to mommy? Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There's little things like respect that I really value, because that was instilled in me as a child growing up. You say, yes, sir, and you say, yes, ma'am. Theodosia, it's not so high. As long as they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, kind of like a herd of cats moving in the right direction. Y'all know how herds of cats move in the right direction? That's just different parenting styles, not wrong and not right. That's who she is, that's her makeup, and that's who I am. And she helps kind of balance me out and soften my dark side a little bit in the parenting relationship. stop, look, and listen. This morning I stopped and I looked and I listened because the way that I communicated what I expected of my kid was a little bit harsh. And I didn't realize it until afterwards. And I sat down in the study and I'm sitting there and I'm getting ready for this morning and I was a little harsh. There was a little bit of anger that came through. I don't always stop and I don't always look and I don't always listen. But when I'm fixing to talk about something, it's like all over the place. And it's not always comfortable either to stop and to look and to listen. Do you have a time where you stop, look, and listen in your life? We have talked the past couple weeks about what does it look like for us to stop and to check our hearts, to look inside, to listen. Jesus, you're here. How are you directing? How are you guiding? How are you influencing in this situation or that situation? Having a time during the day where my watch goes off, has a little reminder, my iPhone goes blink. Oh, this is a time for me to stop, to look, and to listen, to pay attention to what is going on the inside, to pay attention to what is going on the outside. No matter how young you are or how mature you are, there's opportunity for us to grow in the way that we are aware of who we are in our relationship with God and with those around us. There's opportunity for us to grow in our relationship with ourselves, with God, and with those around us. So I like dependability. That's another one of my pet peeves. So when I go into the bathroom and there's no toilet paper, anybody have no toilet paper moments where dependability, where does toilet paper go? It goes on the roll next to the commode. That's where it is, right? Right, and the toilet seat should be down, right? It should be. Let's talk about the dependability that we find in Christ. What is the dependability that Scripture says that we have when we are focused on God's presence in our lives and His work? We start with Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Read this with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you don't have this committed up here, this is a good one to put on a 3x5 card and to put it next to your computer screen in the office, or to have a little post-it note there in your car that you can just pick up and remind yourself, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because there's a lot of change that's going on in our lives. There's a lot of shifting and there's a lot of moving that takes place, but for me to come and to say, okay, Jesus, you're the constant in all of my unconstantness. I need that constant. This isn't just a Jesus idea. This is a God idea. This is our Heavenly Father's approach to His children, His people, children of Israel. We read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Let's read this together. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. There were these moments in the children of Israel's life where they were acting like kids, like my kids do, and they're dragging their feet, and they're kicking one another, and they're hitting one another, and they're making a mess, and things are just going all over the place. And God's covenant love is on the line in that moment. Is God's covenant love going to continue to go with His children, or is God going to withdraw His promise of love for His people based upon the lack of performance in their lives? Malachi says, no, it's not changing. It's consistent. It's steady. It's steady in their lives. Then one of Jesus' disciples, brother James, chapter 1, verse 17, read this together. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This right here is what gets me, the shadow due to change. I have a lot of shadows in my life that are due to change. But not with Father. Not with Father. When I'm walking with Father, I can trust that He's still there. Presence is with me. Love is with me. Peace that passes all understanding is with me. Hope is there. love is abiding in my life. Jesus, the variable. Have you ever had a moment where all of that truth, the God who doesn't change, the covenants that are still alive and well, firm foundation in my life, that presence of God is there, and then I feel a shift or a change in the way that Jesus has been a part of my life? Have you ever experienced that shift? Normally it comes right before there's a time of growth, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, inner growth inside, around me, some kind of a change in my life. When it came time to leave a first pastorate, I remember this feeling of just a holy energy that was deep inside my heart, and my wife was experiencing it too, and we're like, we've never done this before. I know that God is still close to us, but there's something that is alive on the inside, this life or this energy that's preparing us for something. I can't tell you what it is, but I feel safe. I still feel loved. I still feel hope. I know that it's preparing me for something, but I don't know what it is. It was a way I'd never experienced God before. It was something I'd never felt on the inside before. And at first it was a little scary because, you know what, I don't do warm fuzzies like that on the inside. You know, that's not what I'm going to move on or what I'm going to live from, you know, because I'm going to live from up here. What is truth? What I know, what I can figure out, what I can test, what I can prove on paper. 1 + 1 still equals what? 2. That's how I'm going to live my life. And yet there's this shift on the inside. There's this change on the inside of, I need to get ready. I need to get ready. And I am getting ready, but I can't describe how I'm getting ready or what is getting ready, except I just feel alive on the inside in a way I've never felt alive before. There was a moment for the disciples and a moment for Jesus' family and his friends where a shift took place, where Jesus stepped into a new place within their understanding of who he was, and it was a little bit scary, and they weren't necessarily welcoming that change or that move of Jesus with open arms. Actually, there was pushback and a desire to see things change. We're going to watch a quick video vignette here of Luke chapter 14. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, Luke chapter 14, you can do so. This will give us a quick picture and insight into what the disciples, the family, and the community that knew Jesus, what their response was to his change and his move in their lives.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, he went as usual to the synagogue. And was called upon to read a portion of the prophet Isaiah.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people. Speak. This passage of scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read.
The scripture come true?
But only the Messiah can fulfill that promise.
How shall we know?
Doubtless you'll quote the proverb to me. Physician, heal thyself. You'll also say to me, do hear the things in your own hometown that we heard were done in Capernaum. I tell you this, no prophet is ever welcome in his hometown.
They meant to throw him over the cliff, but he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way.
The response to Jesus reading that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him was a direct connection to Christ being the Messiah. His friends, his neighbors, his community was a little bit up in arms about, we watched this kid grow up. We knew who this person was. This is the way it's always been. This is the way we've always interacted with little Jesus. And this is the way little Jesus has always interacted with us. There's no room for any change. And there was also this spiritual indignation of, how dare you? There was a looking down their nose of, you don't have our blessing in this moment. There were so many different factors and facets that were coming into play here in this moment. Jesus steps into a new place and finds out that there was resistance to that change of understanding who he is and what he was about to do and where he was going. There was change and there was resistance. In our lives, when the variable is Jesus, it can be a little bit scary because the very spiritual foundation where we find our life on the inside, our health, our peace, and our calm, when Jesus moves into a new place or begins to open up and to show us a new part of who he is and what his plan is for our lives or those around us, sometimes it can be a little bit scary too. Not always is it exciting. I'm going to a new place, but there can be a moment of loss. Loss of a job, loss of a relationship, loss of a loved one, where Jesus is there for us and says, let me be with you in this moment that you have never experienced before, and let me show you how I can lead you in and through this place. But Jesus, this feels foreign, this feels different. The way that it's always been, the way I've always related to you, the way I've always understand how you work in my life, it's changing, it's shifting in some ways. Changing and shifting in some ways. Remember our stop, look, and listen? Pay attention? Well, the Hebrew word for that is henna. Would you all say henna with me? Henna. Henna means that there is a moment of pause, awareness, looking around in that place to absorb what is going on. Henna. Henna. And this is a word that happens over and over again in the Hebrew scriptures, and it also is coming out in the Greek scriptures. Let's take a look at one of those scriptures here. This is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Read this with me. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The word, stop, look, and listen. Behold. Behold. Every time you see the word behold, the invitation is stop, look, and listen. Have you ever had a stop, look, and listen moment right after you had a car accident? I've had some hard things in my life that brought me to a place of stopping, looking, and listening. It's called evaluation. Here in the book of Isaiah, the question that God is putting forth is, do you not perceive it? Are you looking? Are you listening? Have you stopped to see what I am doing with you? Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Read this with me. Here it is. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Hebron, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. In a moment of stress and pressure, a moment of frustration, a moment of uncertainty, is what Moses finds himself thinking, feeling, being. And what does God call him to do? Stop, look, and listen. Because there's something that I'm going to do through you in this moment. And lastly, this morning, read this, Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." So springtime comes early to Texas. As you've been driving around, or maybe outside your front yard or your backyard or your side yard, have you noticed that springtime is upon us? That there's a newness that is at work? Have you stopped and have you looked and have you listened? The birds are starting to sing again. Things are starting to sprout up. Stop, look, and listen. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to stop and to look and to listen. But God's desire for each of us is that we would pause and have those moments where we stop and where we look and where we are able to listen. Pay attention. Pay attention in my life and in your life. This morning, I just want to give us an opportunity to stop and to pay attention. To pay attention to what is going on in our minds, what's going on physically in our bodies, what's taking place in our hearts, in that spiritual realm, that place where the still small voice speaks. Take time right now to stop and to look and to listen. And we're going to have all the kids come and join us because they can participate as well. This is important for each of us to have this very simple practice of stopping and of looking and of listening in our lives. All right, so everybody find a seat. Everybody got a seat? Find a place comfortable. Stop, look, and listen. We're going to play some music softly. I just want you to close your eyes and just listen. Where is that place of feeling at home inside my heart? Where is that? Can you feel that? That's that sense of I'm at home with Jesus. The words Jesus used in the Gospels is abide in me. Let my words abide in you. Find yourself at home with Jesus. Let's just pause. Find ourselves at home with Jesus. Everybody with their eyes closed. I'm just going to pray a prayer of protection over us right now. Jesus, we thank you that you cover us with your love, that you surround us with your light. We thank you that you are keeping out all darkness. We trust that right now we can just be still and know that you are God. Is there any place right now where you feel just a little bit uncertain about the outcome, a particular area? The rhythm or the pattern has changed. There's a variable in your life, uncertainty. If you sense that, right now, I just want you to just take a moment and just let Jesus know. You're at home with him right now. He's at home with you in your heart. Say, Jesus, this is something that I'm uncertain about. I'm unsure. Maybe Jesus is moving you this morning to a new place. He's encouraging you, calling you to walk with him and step into that new space with him that he would have for you. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's your vocation, a job, work. Maybe it's a courageous conversation to have with a family member or a coworker or a neighbor. Maybe a brother or sister. Welcome Jesus' ways, his words, to come and guide and direct you in those moments in your life. Jesus, we just pause right now. We say thank you for your promise to be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. And even though there may be moments when our relationship with you is growing and expanding and changing, we're being conformed to the image of yourself, your likeness, love incarnate. We thank you that you're still with us and that we're still with you. And we can trust that your goodness will be the outcome in the end. We thank you, Jesus. We pray all this in your holy and precious name. Amen. This morning, I want to give each of you a tool. I've got a handout for you. It's about centering prayer and just taking time to listen to what's going on in our heart where Jesus resides and is working. I encourage you to set a time each day where you are still and knowing that God is God. And you're letting him know, I feel a little bit insecure. I feel a little bit unsteady. I feel uncertain about this relationship or about this in my finances or that in my new situation, whatever it may be. I allow Jesus to assure us that he's still with us. He's inside of us. And there's hope and there's life that won't change, won't shift, even when we are sensing change and shifts around us. Why don't we all stand together? Why don't we close with Fearless? This is a new one for us this morning. Y'all did great earlier. Let's do it again. May the God who created each of you inside and out and said that what his creation was good, may that God continue to give you hope and life and love in all situations and circumstances. May his Son, our Savior Jesus, the Christ, and Spirit be with each of us throughout this week. May we be prompted to stop, look, and listen, to behold, to see the new things that God is bringing about in our lives and around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.